let's just pretend that we're out on a beautiful sunny beach today in the middle of July, and let's study the word together. You know, I couldn't help but notice as I looked around, I saw a number of people that I haven't seen in quite a while, and if you're one of those, God bless you. Nice to see you back. Nice to have you. And we hope that you have a great and blessed day in Him. Well, over the next several weeks, we're going to spend our time in the Psalms. I titled this the next several weeks, Summer in the Psalms. Since it's July, I thought that was a good title for these messages. I've done this a number of times over the years, and I've kept up with the different psalms that we've studied and looked at, and this time we're going to be looking at several ones that we have not in the past. Let me start with this. Did you ever hear the story about the old country pastor that was flying for the very first time? And when he got on the plane, there was a gentleman that got on after him that was obviously very nervous about flying. And when they seated this guy, the flight attendant came to the pastor, knowing that what he did, and thought that it might be a comfort to this man. He seated the pastor beside this fellow that was frightened and anxious. And as the plane took off, the man, obviously, he grabbed the pastor's leg and squeezed it really, really hard. And he looked at him and he said, "Pastor, please tell me that the word is true when it says that I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth." And the pastor said, "Well, actually, you've misquoted that. It actually says, 'Lo, I'm with you always.' I'm not sure it covers way up here." I don't know if you've ever experienced any kind of fear like that. I will tell you that for most of my life, I was terrified of heights. I mean, I just had this really an unhealthy fear of being up high. And let me tell you when I got over that fear. And actually, truthfully, I'm not over it, you know, now totally. But back when my kids were young teenagers, and we were taking them to different places on vacation, we ended up at Busch Gardens down in Williamsburg, Virginia. And, you know, we had Sarah, who would never get on a roller coaster or a ride like that. And then we had Kristen, and that's all she wanted to do. And I remember Arlene and I were like, okay, you know, which one of us has to go with her? And I'll just be really truthful with you. I didn't want to do it. I had no desire to do it. And Arlene did it first. I actually looked for this picture. I couldn't find it. I've got it. I've got it somewhere. But you know how on in the middle of the roller coaster ride they take your picture? Well, the first time that Arlene actually rode, and she didn't want to do it either, but she rode with Kristen on the roller coaster there at Williamsburg, and they took her picture, and when we went and looked at it, Arlene was like,
"I was relaxed."
Yeah, she was relaxed. And then my you know, the instinct kicked in that I wanted to protect my wife and you know, do the things that I need to do as a husband. And I told her, I said, "Honey, I'll ride the roller coaster." So we went and rode another roller coaster. And I'm telling you, that little click, 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 when it goes up, I thought I was going to be dead before I got to the top. But we took off on that roller coaster, and I was so shocked because I survived. And once I survived, I thought, you know what? I want to do it again. And you know what? I became a roller coaster junkie. You know, now I still don't like heights. You know, I get in an airplane, I'm not real thrilled about looking out the window and thinking about where I'm at. But you know, you get me on a roller, you get me on a carousel, that's a throw up machine as far as I'm concerned. But the roller coasters, you know, that are going play, you know, I love them. I remember we rode the one down in Disney, and it was the Rock and Roll roller coaster. Remember that one? And it didn't go click, 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 click up the first hill. It went whoom right out of the gate. You know, I was like, whoa, that was a different experience. And over the years, we've experienced a lot of them. Arlene doesn't have to ride them anymore, and I'm there. And you know what? As I was reading Psalm 25, it just kind of hit me that life is like a roller coaster. Life is like a roller coaster. I mean, you're just so comfortable. You're enjoying where you're at, and then all of a sudden, the bottom falls out in life. And something happens, something comes along, and it just throws you off kilter. I remember the first time we ever rode the Apollo's Chariot roller coaster at Busch Gardens. And it's an interesting roller coaster because you sit above the track and you have no harness whatsoever on you. All you have holding you in is this bar, this lap thing that you pull back in your lap, and then it locks, and that's how you're fastened in there. There's nothing else holding you in. And I remember the first time we ever rode that one, I pulled it down, and they locked it. And what I realized when the ride started is I didn't get it quite tight enough. So, man, I was like coming up off my seat, and it was like, whoa, it scared the bejeebies out of me. And we rode it again, and I literally cut the circulation off on my legs. I mean, I pulled that thing back as far as I could get it. And sometimes, don't you feel like that? That you just feel unsettled, you feel unsafe, you feel like that the bottom is falling out, or you see a large hill approaching. And you're just wondering how in the world you're going to get through this time. Folks, I think that the 25th Psalm is David describing how his life was like a roller coaster. Now, he didn't have roller coasters, of course, but he lived a life just like we live. Ups and downs, in and outs. You know, you go upside down. You go really, really fast. Sudden jerks. Actually, the worst roller coaster I ever rode was at Kennywood in Pittsburgh, those crazy wooden ones. I thought I was going to break my back going around those things. You know, the new ones now, they're kind of smooth and they're really, really fast. But sometimes we just feel like we're getting jostled around. Here, let me show you what I'm talking about. The psalmist starts in Psalm 25, David, and look at what he says here in verse 1 and 2. He says, "In you, my Lord, in you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me." I remember one of the roller coasters I rode one time. As we went out of the station, I noticed the guy at the controls. He didn't look like somebody I would trust. David starts out here by saying, listen, God, I trust you. David starts out by praising God. He's reaffirming his faith in God. And there's times that's exactly what we do. You know, as we go through life, as things seem settled, as things seem like that God is with us and taking us somewhere. Matter of fact, look at verse 3 here, because he continues and he says, "No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause." You see, David understood that as his life unfolded, he needed to have confidence in God. Do you hear the confidence in David's words as he talks about God? You know, the previous verse was a request, but now it's like David is saying, well, wait a minute. Nobody who waits on the Lord, nobody who says the Lord is mine will be put to shame. God will be with us. Don't we do that sometimes? We go through our difficult moments. We go through our rough patches. We doubt a little bit or we don't totally doubt, but we're just wondering, God, can you really do what your word says that you can do? Can you really heal me from this disease, from this ailment? God, can you really give me the strength that I need? God, can you really help my child, my family? God, can you really help me with this new job? And while we so often get exactly what we hope for, David here is affirming that in the end, that he will not be put to shame. That there will be times of up, that there will be times of down. I mean, think about it here for a moment. In three different times in this psalm, David states that he will wait for the Lord. He says it in verse 3. He says it again in verse 5. He says it again in verse 21. Verse 5, he says, "For you, I wait all day long." Verse 21, I wait for you. I mean, how many times have we placed our trust in God? I remember the very first time I ever rode a roller coaster. I said, "God, if you let me survive this, I'll serve you the rest of my life. I'll be a missionary and I'll go to Africa if that's what you want," right? We say these things to God when our feet are on solid ground. And as we see a storm approaching, something coming our way. And David teaches us here that what we do during the ups and downs, during the roller coaster ride of life, is that we wait on the Lord. Think about it, folks. Do we do that? How'd Abraham, did he wait on the Lord? No. They tried to figure it out themselves. You know, how about Peter? Did Peter wait on the Lord? Well, he eventually got to that point. But boy, there was an awful lot of times when he just tried to figure it out himself, do something that impetuous that he thought would make things better. And so many times it never did. David learned the lesson that he needed to wait on the Lord. Look at how he reaffirms his faith in God in verse number five. Look at this. I love this, verse 5. He says, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Say that with me. All day long. Say it again. All day long. Not just at the high points, but at the lowest points in your life, God is still there for you. So think about this. As you read this roller coaster of David's life, verse 6, he makes a request of God. Look at what he says here. He says, "Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are God." Do not remember the sins of my youth. Think about that. You see, that verse talks about all of the sins that we know that we've committed that have taken us so far away from God. But then he says, "and of my rebellious ways." It's almost like the sins of my youth and of my rebellious ways, even up to today. That even though I know who you are and what you've done and what your promises are, when I go through the roller coaster of life, there are times when I am so low that I literally rebel from you. You see, David asked God to remember him. But to remember him according to what? According to his mercy and his love. David here is struggling. And he's asking God to look upon him, look upon his life, look upon the sins of his youth and the rebellion of his life now from his great love and his great mercy. How often have our sins come back on us like a sudden drop on a hill of a roller coaster? I remember, you know, when I first started, it was like, "Oh my goodness, what have I done? Why am I up here?" It was okay for Arlene to do this. You know, she would have continued to do it. You know, I remember Kim Hancher, she here this morning. Kim Hancher talked me into riding that sky coaster at Kennywood one time. You know the sky coaster where they lay you down and they tie you up and then they pull you up about a mile and a half off the ground on this rope and then just let you go? Actually, you had to pull the cord yourself. And I didn't realize that the cord was on my side. And we got up there and the guy said, you know, pull the cord. And I'm like, no. Get the rescue people, get the helicopter, whatever, get me down. Finally, I did it. And I remember Kim and I, we just screamed like a couple of little children all the way down and all the way across. It's like, what in the world am I doing? I just thought the rope was gonna break and I was just gonna skip across the parking lot there on across the highway. You know, those kinds of fears. What have I done? David had those moments. But here's the thing, folks, isn't this awesome? Even though David had those moments, he was guided by the graciousness of God. He was guided by the love and the mercy of God. And even though he knew that the mercy and the graciousness of God was not going to eliminate those times that we go up and down and in and out and we have such struggles in life, he knew that he was going to be there with him. Know that two other times in this psalm, David comes back to the same issue of sin. Verse 7 here, verse 11 and verse 18. Verse 11 says this, look, he says, for the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Verse 18, look on my affliction and my distress and take away my sin. There was a lot of guilt in David's life as he went through the ups and downs, probably because of his situation. Maybe he believed, like we many times believe, that we're the cause of it. But I'm the one that brought this on myself. You know, if you go over and read Psalm 51, it's David's cry about what his sin has done and where it's brought him. But folks, David understood something that you and I need to understand today. John tells us it, chapter 1, verse 8, that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Isaiah chapter 43 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Psalm 103, verse 12, David tells us, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I love Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, verse 9 says, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. And then in Ephesians in the New Testament, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Friends, do you hear this good news? That God will forgive us of our transgressions. That God will forgive us of our iniquities. God will forgive us of our rebellious ways. God will forgive us of the sins of our youth. And they don't have to define us as we go forward. Now, we'll still experience the roller coaster, but we have to know that God is right there with us every moment of every day. David, a matter of fact, later in this psalm, he turns back to that roller coaster of life. And he really goes way down. He really goes really deep into his understanding and his feeling of what's going on in his life. Listen to his words, verse number 16. He says, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Verse 17, relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Verse 18, look at this. He says, look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. In verse 19, see how numerous are my enemies and how fiercely they hate me. You see, David understood the difficulties of life. He understood where they came from. And he understood that in a lot of ways, he was responsible for them. But his cry out to God was that God help me through these situations. Here's another thing about a roller coaster. Kristen and I, she loved them. And we were on, I think it was on that Apollo's Chariot one again. And we would actually wait in line to get on the front row so that you were very first. So there's like five seats across on this, and Kristen and I are on one, and then these three young boys that were about her age were in the other three seats. And it was so funny because Kristen said, "Hey, let's see who can ride the whole ride and never hold on, have their arms up the whole time." I'm like, "That sounds like a terrible idea." But these young boys are like, you're on. And they were wanting to show Kristen. And it was so funny because we took off and, you know, we all, you know, I held my arms up when we clicked up the click, 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 click. You know, I could do that. But when we went over the top, no way, man. I was holding on for dear life. And it was so funny because when it came to the time of the picture, it took our picture. And then after it was over, these three boys were arguing with Kristen that they didn't hold on. Okay, so we went, all five of us, we went and we looked at the pictures, and I readily admitted I was holding on. If they took my picture anywhere except that first hill, I was holding on. But when it came time, we looked at the picture, and here was these three little boys just bare-knuckled holding on, you know, and here's this girl their same age sitting right beside them, and her hands were way up in the air, and they were like, busted, you know. You know, in some ways, I want God to know that we're struggling. That the roller coaster that we're on is difficult and hard. And think about this, folks. David, over and over and over again, asked for forgiveness. Ask for help. David cries out again. Look at verse number 20. He says, "Oh, guard my soul. Guard my soul," David says, and deliver me. Help me along this path of light." And he even says, "Don't let me be put to shame. Don't let me be put to shame." What? "Because I want to depend on you. You are my refuge. You are my peace." Look at verse number 21. I love this. He says, do I have it? Do I have 21? Did I put that up there? No? Oh, there it is. Yeah. "May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver me, O God, from all their troubles. May integrity and uprightness protect me." That's what we need as we ride this roller coaster each and every day. You see, here's the thing. David knows that God is good. David knows that God has said that I'm going to be with you to the very end. And knowing that is a beautiful thing. This past week, I found this one quote by Tozer. And I don't know if you've read a lot of what he has said, but I loved this quote by Deborah Tozer. He says, "An infinite God can give all of himself to each of his children. He does not distribute himself that each may have a part, but to each he gives all of himself as fully as if there were no other." That's the kind of God that I want you to feel this morning. You know what? If God has to spread himself out over all of those that are fearful about the roller coaster of life, we never get more than a little bit of God. But I love this because he says God gives of himself to all of his children in such a way that we don't get just a part of him or a portion of him, but we get all of him as if we are the only ones there and there's no other. How comforting to know that God in his power and in his grace and his mercy is always with each of us in every way. You know, if you read Psalm 25, I love the way he ends the psalm. Not on a personal note, but on a note for the entire nation and the people of God. Verse 22, what does he say? He says, deliver Israel, God, from all their troubles. You see, because he understood that the roller coaster was not just something that he was riding, but it was something that he was guiding all of God's children on each day. And you know what, folks? It's not so much about just our fears, but it's about alleviating the fears of others. It's easy to ridicule or make fun of other people's fears. But when you realize that you experience that same kind of thing, you can help people to know that they are not alone, that God is with them each and every day. You know, I want to end with this. This is kind of a funny thing, kind of funny, but yet serious, about Connie. Is Connie in here? Don't tell her I told you this. That time we were at Kennywood and we were riding all those rides, we took a bunch of kids over there and we were having fun. Connie is terrified of this kind of thing. And I don't know how, but I talked her into riding the Steel Phantom. And I got her on that roller coaster. I talked her into the front seat. And we got on that front seat, and you know what? She held my hand like a little schoolgirl, scared to death. And as we rode that roller coaster, all of a sudden I realized that Connie was making no noise at all. And I thought at first she may be dead. And when we finally stopped and she got off that roller coaster, she let go of my hand and she started running. And she ran down the path, she ran down the park, she wanted as far away from that roller coaster and as far away from me as she could get. You know, I've never been able to talk her into anything since that day. But you know what, folks? God's not like that. He's not going to necessarily alleviate your fears, but he's going to be with you through every moment of every day. He's not going to make you sinless, but he's going to give you forgiveness for the sins you've committed. He's not going to take away all of the things that you feel badly about because you regret your sins or your rebellion, but he's going to convince you that he's forgiven you of them. And you know what, more than anything else? I was of no help to Connie that day. But God is in your life helping you as if you are the only one in all the universe that needs help. That's what David teaches us in Psalm 25. Let's pray. Father in heaven, God, I thank you for this wonderful morning that you've given to us. God, I pray that the next several weeks will be a wonderful time of refreshment, learning, challenging words, Lord, from your word, from the Psalms. And I pray, Lord, that the next several weeks will be like a journey for us with King David and how his love and faith in you saw him through the good times and the bad. Helped him, Lord, in the ups and downs. Gave him, Father, exhilaration when he was high and mighty. And gave him a place to rest, Lord, when he was lowly and pursued. And I know, Father, that everyone in this room this morning has experienced that same kind of feeling about life. And may we know, Lord, that you're right there beside us, holding our hand, protecting us even, Lord, and preparing us for a better future, redeemed and changed through the person of your Son, our friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for each person that's here this morning. And Lord, I just acknowledge, Lord, their roller coaster and the difficult ride that they're on. But Father, may they feel that they're not only not alone because of your presence, but because of ours as well. And may we offer strength that we receive from you to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.